myself, acting CEO, in order to hand back to briefly, and then thereafter we'll go straight through to MDDA unless there's any further clarifications. Acting CEO.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just wanted to respond to the last area which I think my colleague makes around the public sector magazine. I think we were asked to provide some kind of the figures. I think if I can just share with the members how that contract was structured. I think it's one of our success stories of a contract which we did in form of a partnership, because we didn't have a funding from National Treasury to do the public sector magazine, but we felt that there has to be a publication that we do for our public servants, especially the senior management. So what we then did, we went out on tender and we awarded it to a company that will ensure that they produce, they distribute, and they sell distribute the magazine, but they source the funding themselves. But what we made sure we do in the contract is that if you are making a profit, a certain amount as a result of advertising, you have to share it with a government. So the amounts that we are getting, they depend on how much advertising of the pages they have. So it varies, but yes, you're correct. When we receive it, it goes straight to the revenue fund. We are not able to plow it back to GCIS, but it varies depending on how many advertising they have received. So that's basically what it is. The other revenue that the members were talking about in terms of what we are doing on behalf of departments, we ideally would have wanted to do that, but the savings that we derive as a result of a media buying, unfortunately, it doesn't come to GCIS. What we simply do, we negotiate a discount, and if, for instance, the department wants to run a campaign for 2 million, we then we source out a quotation, we get something and we get a discount. We only take the amount that is actually payable to the service provider, but we actually do not take. So the savings, if you strictly say, remains with the department. The other issue which was devolved to me around the funding that was raised by the chairperson is the issue of GCIS underspending on its quota. I think yes, we acknowledge that you are working on the figures from the last quarter, but if there's anything, Chairperson, I can assure the members that very often the figures from National Treasury are based on the money that has already happened, that has already gone through in our bank account. But some of the pending payments of invoices, which we try and take them into account. So we can safely say that as of today, we will actually spend all our funds, but what the saving that we are upfront and we are currently writing to Treasury is only going to be in the main around the building. The over expenditure, I'm not sure whether it is accurate in terms of overspending, but I think it's a once-off that we pay for the merit awards at the beginning of the year, and they tend to distort the percentages as we're not anticipating a huge underspending or overspending even in that regard. But I think we can come up with the exact figures maybe when we come to the next presentation. And I think those were the main issues that I thought it's useful that we... Well, I think there was a question around the advertisement. How do we decide? I think I want to... Donald is going to talk to more exactly on this, but I thought it would be useful that we take the members on board on how we deal with the issue of the procurement. Because I think the procurement as we do it, we do take into cognizance the policy of government of ensuring that we broaden the base of procurement, and we are one of the few departments that have started a while back of saying we need to have a program of the upcoming companies in the various areas of procurement that we do. We, in research, we will make sure that there is some kind of an attempt that we make that we don't keep to the ones that are long in the market. The media buying is the same principle. Whether it's research, whether it's a catering company, whether we try and say there has to be a conscious effort that we make in making sure that we support the upcoming companies. The same applies to the community media, a community radio station. We go at length in saying, whatever we do, let us make sure that we actually promote the small and upcoming, because there's no way you are going to find a community radio that is subscribed to AMPS. But yes, we know that they are viable. We know that Uzibonele radio station, it is functioning. It may not have an AMP, but it doesn't make governments to take a view of saying it's not going to use them. So that's basically what we try and do. We only try and manage the risk, because clearly if it is a small and upcoming company or service provider, you also need to balance it so that you don't take all your contract and you give it to a company that is still, but I think we make a conscious effort of saying, let us support the upcoming companies, but with an understanding that you need to manage the risk, that you don't take government's 100% money and throw it into an upcoming company. We provide them with the support and we try and do as much as we can to try and balance the growing of the industry in the various areas. But I think Donald will talk to the digital and also talk to all the AMPs. I think Tyrone is also going to talk to the project that we have, but Donald is going to just lastly talk to the digital and also the specific the research and the advertising. But that's our principle. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, acting CEO, we have a little bit of a challenge. Another two members will be leaving in the next half an hour, and we would want them to get as much of the presentation of MDDA as possible. So what I'm going to ask, and I think we've spent a fair amount of time on GCIS now, the remaining items that you are going to have somebody respond on, could you put that through to us in writing? Would that be possible, that it gets sent through the committee section so that it be given to members during the course of next week? Otherwise, we're going to have members missing out on the MDDA. That's my little bit of a concern. So if you're okay with that, thank you very much to you and your team. I hope you've got flights booked, because there's no flights out of Cape Town. Okay. So if you're needing to go for your flights, we will excuse you. I don't know if the MDDA are pressured for their flights as well. So I'm going to ask if we can hand over to MDDA, if they can set up, then we can hand over to them. So we can just wait for a few minutes while they set up. Thanks very much. that we can then resume, and that is we're moving on to now the MDDA, Media Development and Diversity Agency. I guess we need to apologize that it's this late on a Friday, but I get that's the nature of our work. So I'm not going to, without saying anything further, I think I need to hand over to Mr. Nongani, one of the board members. I think you're leading the delegation here, if I'm not mistaken. And you would then, if you could then introduce your team and then take us forward. Thanks very much. But I think, let me just, before you continue, we're at 2 o'clock now. We would need to finish here and conclude by 4 o'clock at the very latest. Because I understand some of your team have got a 6 o'clock flight. And with the Cape Town traffic, you will battle to get to the airport if you leave any later. So if members are agreeable as well, by 4 o'clock we want to wrap up and close. Perhaps earlier, but we also don't want to do any injustices to the report from the MDDA. So let me hand over to yourself. Thanks.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Phenyo Nongane, and I've been requested to introduce the delegation from the Media Development and Diversity Agency. As it has already been said before, the chairperson, Ms. Pelly Sankomo, is not available today. She couldn't make it because of family matters. In our delegation, we have Tato Mahaba, one of our board members, Nadia Bulbilia. Ingrid is not here as well. She submitted an apology. And Mr. Jimmy Manye as well. And Robert Nguna. Also from the board, we've got Notando Migogo and Dr. Renee Smith. And the CEO, Mr. Lumko Mdimde. The CFO, Mr. Mshieni Kungisa. Mr. Nkopane Mapiri, who is the program director of the agency, and Ms. Duduzile Pumwayo, the HR manager. We also have Ms. Harriet Maseko, the executive secretary. Our presentation today, this afternoon, is actually is going to be in two parts. The first part is going to deal with the quarter, the last quarter, but also we are going to deal with the plan going forward. The first part of the presentation, I think I'm going to skip that because it deals basically with the background and the context within which the MDDA functions. And I'm just going to hand over now to the CEO so that he can start with the presentation, obviously taking into account the fact that we don't have enough time for us to do this presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
If I can just interrupt, we're not wanting you to rush, but it's 2 o'clock now, so I think there is time for the presentation.
Yes.
And what I was indicating is that by 4 o'clock we will close and finish up. That's what I was saying. So.
As we are still setting up, just to remind members, the agency is guided obviously by the MDDA Act, which has not changed. And obviously, you know, we've got very clear objectives of the agency in terms of the Act, and I think the CEO is ready. I was about to deal with that, but the CEO is ready now.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson and Honourable Chairperson and members. Good afternoon. As the Chair has indicated, we will first deal with the third quarter report and then come to the annual performance plan and MTF. We're not going to spend much time on the general information that has not changed as we report, because we have been reporting here in the first, second quarter. This is the third quarter. We continue to approach the delivery of our mandate in terms of our financial and non-financial support. And we continue to have that list of partners, government, print media, and broadcast media. And that's the highlights of our success or milestones, which you are aware of, and including the one highlight that Today, as we speak, the industry does recognize that there's a difference between community media and local media owned by the mainstream media. And those are just but some of our projects that we funded in the year under discussion. And this slide also shows the reality of South Africa that talks to the relevance of community media and this talking to radio, where, for example, in Australia, after more than 50 years of community radio in Australia, the community radio listenership constitutes 25% of the total radio, whereas in South Africa, in just less than 18 years of community radio, it constitutes 28% of total radio listenership. So that tells the story that local is lekker, as they say. Our year plan of 12-13 was based on an objective to ensure all citizens can access information in a language of their choice and to transform media access, ownership, and control patterns in South Africa. That has not changed, and our focus areas have been grant funding, fundraising, resource mobilization, research, knowledge management, monitoring and evaluation, advocacy, diverse and quality content. So I will now ask Ntatema Phiri to talk to the deliverables in terms of quarter three, but again we'll just focus on the variances and only engage on the other areas as per questions from the members.
CEO, can I just ask you, just to recap, you spoke about a listenership of community radio in just 18 years. What was that figure?
In South Africa, it's 28% of total radio listenership listens to community radio, which is the story that I think it tells that local is like.
Thanks, CEO. Just to focus on the specific variances, in the main, we have got five key results areas. That's the core of what the agency does is around key area number one, which is grant funding. And in that area of grant funding, in the quarter three, our target was to provide funding to a small commercial print project, and in that period we actually had funded two projects in that particular period. The reason for that was because there were some savings that we had realized in the previous year that we were able to save and roll them over to provide to other needy projects. We also had a target to actually fund about three community radio projects in that particular quarter, and that was achieved. I think in the main, board members, or rather members, what we do is that there are four board sittings in a year, and what we try to do is to process all the grant funding in the first three sittings of the board to enable us to ensure that we actually speed up the service delivery obligations that we have. So that the fourth sitting of the board is purely to concentrate on the strategic plan for the new financial year. So in the main, this is why by come third quarter, we would have exhausted and committed all the budgets that we actually have. With regards to also key results area number two around some of the MOUs and the strategic partnership and resource mobilization that we have for the agency, we have got now a standing agreement, a signed memorandum of understanding between ourselves and the MICT CETA. The intention there is to ensure that we expand the training and capacity building for people in the community media and small commercial media sector. We anticipate that we'll be able to train about 780 people through that partnership, and we're quite excited about the implementation of that particular partnership. And increasingly, we're expanding. We realize that because the agency does not have a provincial office, offices, so to speak, we then have to work through smart partnerships, and we then deliver some of the work that we do, training, for instance, through institutions of higher learning, and we formulate those particular partnerships. So that's the work that we continue to do. And the work that we now continue to do with the Independent Electoral Commission, because the realization that elections, IEC's work is not only once every 4 years, once every 5 years, but there's ongoing work that we need to do. So that partnership is now being consolidated. With regards to key result data number three around research and knowledge management, monitoring and evaluation, we continue to monitor the work that we do with the grant funding that is provided to our projects on an ongoing basis. Setting projects need to be monitored, who are at various cycles and stages of their grant funding development, whether they've received their first tranches or they've received their third tranches, whatever the case may be, but we continue to ensure that there's monitoring of the work that we do. Precisely because once project gets granted the funding, we don't necessarily transfer the money all in the lump sum, but it gets transferred in small tranches. So we then have to manage and monitor the degree to which they are sticking to their grant agreements in that regard. We continue to hold continuous capacity building workshops and because the various skills gap that get identified, and we've done that in the third quarter. There's been issues that were raised on the oversight visits in the previous years, where in communities were saying there's complications with the license with the funding application of the MTDA. We tried to simplify that and make it available online. So we've actually piloted that particular project in the third quarter. We're trying to encourage as many people to actually apply online, because we realize that some people may not necessarily have the capacity to submit and courier the documentations to us, so we want to see to what extent we can actually embrace the new technologies to enable us to do that. And we're also piloting some of our projects to go on an online space, with about 10 of our projects to actually do the online presence for the projects that we support. Key result number four on advocacy for media development and diversity. We started the process in that quarter, which finished in that quarter, to develop the draft amendments for the MDDA Act, and those have been presented to the minister. So that was actually achieved. We continue again to strengthen our partnership with the advertising industry, the Association of Marketing Agencies of South Africa. We're beginning to do some work around that in terms of training and ensure that there is some understanding of what the advertising industry expect of the community media and small commercial media sector. And in reverse, we also need to understand what the advertising industry requires of the sector. So we've got that existing partnership that we have in place. The last key result area, number five, is around college programming. This is the partnership that emanated from an agreement we had with the Department of Communications. DOC has since not continued with that mandate, but we continued. We picked up from that mandate and continued to support program production for community radio stations. So we had to support about two in that quarter, and we had processed that accordingly. With regards to the budgetary areas, we are on course with regards to what has been approved and what the expenditure is, and the CFO will get into greater details around those matters. And we try by all means to stick to the budget allocations and ensure that we minimize any variances. Thank you, sir.
Through you, Chairperson, we will then ask the CFO to take you through the financial information trends as at quarter three.
Thank you, CEO, and Honorable Chair and members. I will just focus on areas where there are variances. We'll go to slide number 33. On administration cost, there is a variance there of 34,000. The reason is being that our traveling expenses, we book in advance. Our invoices will be invoiced on the next month. That's why we'll have a variance there. Once we receive those invoices on the last day of the month, we'll pay on the next month. Then on employee cost, the variance there is because of the four vacancies which were not filled during the third quarter, but by by now most of those vacancies has been filled. Then on board costs, the reason being there is that although you'll find that not all board members will attend all board sitting at the same time, but if one board member is not available, it will cost a variety because payment need to be incurred on that note. Then the next slide shows just a budget for the current financial year. As it is, I won't go into details as it is because I think it is right. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. That concludes. That concludes the third quarter report, and now we will go into the annual performance plan. You can see, Chairperson, in terms of the third quarter report that we are on target, and we have instead exceeded some of our targets in terms of some of the key result areas. As we now go to the fourth quarter, we can promise you that we're going to be on target in terms of the target set for the annual performance.
Maybe. Let's just hold on there. Let's just check if there's any questions on the third quarter. I see there's only one hand. Anybody else? There's two. Honourable Shin, Honourable Lisoma. I think that's the only two that at least we can deal with that section. Let me take Honourable Shin.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Just a couple of questions. On your print partners for the financial year, I see you haven't included the New Age. Can you explain why they've been left out of there? I mean, they seem to have lots of money at their disposal. Then you talk about the online register of all community and small commercial publishers. Has that been completed? Is it online yet? If not, when will it be? I'm just trying to read my own writing here. That was just a general question about the funding of projects. I was wondering if you could tell us if you've actually closed down any publications, radio stations, or put as well, no longer funding any of the community enterprises that you've helped start because they've proved to be unviable, and what kind of criteria do you put on them before you pull your funding out of them? Thank you.
Honourable Zisoma.
Thank you, Chair. To the Chair, it's the CE. In terms of your graph, in terms of the listenership, the comparison that you made, you didn't also make the comparison in terms of the total number of the listenership and the population of both countries. It was going to be very interested, not only to deal with the latter part of it. I'm just saying generally it could be nice because we might be comparing granny's apples and red apples. That's one chair. But also probably I should have started with this one, but I thought I must deal with that one first. It's to appreciate the level and the speed of achieving your objectives and your goals. Having said that, Chair, probably moving forward, you need to say, are we putting very lean or slim milestones for us to achieve? I'm noting here you've got your ones, which is good because you need to, but I know that in our last interaction when we were dealing with your NDA results, we did say that we shouldn't put something that we're not going to achieve. But is it because of the money or is it because, let me leave it there. But I'm appreciating that. It's only that when you've got the whole year one, I'm not too sure in terms of the applications and expectations, how many workload in terms of those ones who they didn't file. And of course, in terms of the savings, my issue relates to that one in terms of 22. Unfortunately, I'm just picking one that is called savings. So, which means that next year you need to put 2, 3, so that you'll be able. I'm not sure, but I'm just raising that as a concern, but also as a positive sign. The online one. Are you coupling that one also when you are application to make sure that the interested parties also are aware of that? Because you must also popularize that. And also, Chair, I would be making an omission if I don't also appreciate page 25 in terms of the issues that were raised during the oversight in terms of the online one that you are responding to that. There are very few entities that clearly respond to those things. They just behave as if we didn't see anything, we didn't raise any issues on that. On behalf of Honorable Steyn, I think in terms of your numbers, you are accurate. There are no omissions. I was just calculating here. Chair, in terms of the board members, I'm sure in our NDA report also we'll get it in terms of the attendance thereof. I appreciate that when a member doesn't attend, there's some savings in terms of the board budget, as it may. But also, are they then doing what they are supposed to do, or they are normally board members in their absentia? That's just a worry around that one, because you appoint people to do certain responsibilities and they only meet 4 times a year unless there are special meetings and subcommittees. I'm not saying you should respond. I'm saying as moving forward, probably that one will get a response in our year-end report. In terms of page... supposed to be page 31, after page 30. In terms of the what 2013 budget, as it may here, you didn't show us this year we're not going to have any carryover this year, or we're just 100% on what we have budgeted for and what we have received and all that. Because why I'm saying that, I'm moving from the presentation that there was a rollover of some kind. Chair, in terms of page 33, in terms of your employee cost, isn't that one falls under, if it's a post, unfilled post, falls under savings, as it may, or it's variances? Because I have an explanation that says that there were posts that were not filled and now they are filled. But that one is not supposed to be salaries and wages, savings, not variances, because in terms of variances, it should be within the salaries and wages increase as a percentage and the total number thereof, amount thereof. I'm just saying I'm not a financial person, but I'm just trying to get what the causes is, because probably because of the workload, we have also taken temporary stuff that we didn't foresee that we're going to use them, or it's because also the consultant fees also are within that. I thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity that you have given me, Honorable Member Greg.
We're in Africa. President changes at any time and regime. I'm here. Honorable Ruto.
Chairperson. I'm just interested to understand. I wasn't here when they made their presentation. That's why I'm quite reluctant to be asking questions. Maybe they've touched on what I'm going to ask. My question is based on the last oversight. And I see here on page slide 17, you are saying participated in parliamentary follow-up oversight. Project visits to Eastern Cape. I was a bit concerned about the community radio station that we found in, was it Island? No. The other one, the smaller Nyana Egonin.
Oh,
Dantane, Island. And
again, I wanted to know whether you are talking about such, and if not, what are you doing about such radio stations and the one echo? Now that you are talking about the Eastern Cape and the other concern I had in all those community radios is what you are talking about on slide 19, that you ensure that all citizens can access information in a language of their choice. And when we were asking the languages that they use in both Port Elizabeth and Emonti, they've left out the Afrikaans was not there, and I was very concerned. Yeah, thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you. I'm told that was the last hand. You may respond. Honorable Brochen.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Page 35, program cost on the budget. I'm just curious, when I look at the budget in 2013-2014, and if you go down on the total cost, I was just looking on what are you cutting, on what are you saving on. I see that you are saving on, you're cutting on community media, and then also research. Over the years, yeah, I've been hearing complaints that there's not enough money for research, but you want to have to cut on research. Why are you cutting on community media? And when we go to our oversight visits, there are complaints that they do not have funds. Why are you making savings there and also on research? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Drochen. You may respond.
I think the CEO will continue and then I'll come in later. Thank you very much. Thanks, Chairperson. The organization, you'd appreciate that New Age is a new entrant the market, and it's not the only one that is not part of the print group that is funding the MDG agenda. The Mail and Guardian also does not fund MDGA. The initial agreement was with the Big Four, and it is the Big Four that therefore is the one partnership of MDGA from print media. We are though engaging with the Mail and Guardian and the New Age as they are growing, and they are, Mail and Guardian is a member now of the Print and Digital Media Association, and we are discussing an agreement with them, and we are also in discussion with the New Age. So that is the history that leads to that. It's not just about the New Age. I didn't hear that, Chairperson. I'm not sure what is being asked, Chairperson, but I suppose it's not on record. But I think if that question refers to the advertising, I think the information that has been shared from government, from CIS, it's clear that the media partners that are actually getting more advertising from the taxpayer is the Avusas, is the Big Four.
And sorry, Media 24 is leading.
Yes,
the one
Media 24 is leading. So New Age is actually getting less. So yes, indeed. If the submission is that they need to actually give us more, I think that would be welcome. But in contrast, they've decreased their contributions from 1.2 million each to 1 million, which perhaps I think the honourable member needs to follow that question up with the Avusa, the Media 24, in terms of why are they decreasing while they are getting more increase from the taxpayer in terms of advertising. The second question in terms of online application, both from Honourable Sheen and Honourable Lusoma, we are ready. We want to launch the new website. We wanted the full complement of the board, which we now have. And as you see, board member Migogo, who's one of the new board members. We are now going to launch a new website with all the new features, interactive, and roll out the awareness campaign. Also, as part of what is a 10-year celebration of the MDDA, because we are now finishing 10 years, and as part of that, we're going to launch a new website and run that awareness campaign. With respect to Honourable Sheen, the question of projects shut down, not in the quarter that you are referring to. There isn't a project that shut down. They don't get shut down by us. It would be a question of challenges that they would face, more so on the print side, because on the print side you find that the environment is not as enabling. They largely rely on the MDG funding, of which, after receipt of that funding is spent back into the Big Four, because they are dominating the entire value chain, printing, distribution, ABC, etc. So as such, they are finding challenges to sustain themselves, and our working together with government to mobilize more of advertising to be diverted to community and small commercial to assist their sustainability. And that is working. We've seen increase in terms of government the advertising through community and small commercial media. That will help us going forward. In terms of the criteria for funding, our criteria is publicly available both on our website and also in the application forms. In the main is they need to be able to convince the board that they are going to add value into the agenda of promoting media diversity. And that talks to what extent are the historically disadvantaged communities going to consume that media, language, the indigenous, and all the historical disadvantages. To what extent are they going to be served by that media? So that's in the main what informs the board's decision in terms of criteria for funding. It's need, of course, but they need to also comply with all the requisites in terms of tax. They must have a tax clearance certificate and so forth. Yes, that question, I think, is fundamental. Perhaps when we come back in respect of the annual report, we'll talk to the radio listenership versus the total population of South Africa. We didn't give that information, but we can generate that information from staff. With respect to targets, you'll see even into the next presentation that we are adhering to the wisdom of this very committee in terms of being smart. We're not under targeting or over targeting. We try to be smart in view of the limited resources. As you all have said before, that MDDA is one of the least funded government agencies, and until that has improved, we're unable to set targets that we're not going to be able to deliver on. I will leave the question of board attendance to board members, and the question of budgetary questions, I'll leave those to the CFO, budget, and the employee cost. And the oversight questions, I'll ask Ndate Mapiri to speak to those. Maybe let's start with Mapiri and then CFO.
Thank you, CEO. Honorable Mrotua, yes, the portfolio committee visited the three stations in Danzane, Community Radio UNITRA, as well as Tanya Community Radio in Eto and Patawel. We have indeed gone back, as the committee requested us to go back to those communities. With respect to Kanya Community Radio, we've had a meeting with their management, we've had a meeting with their board, as well as CENTEC, because remember the issue they were raising was around the signal distribution challenges. We have since met and mapped out the way forward with CENTEC and ourselves. We're in now, we're at a stage where we're waiting for the station to be able to provide the necessary documentation. In the main, it's they are required to provide their tax clearance certificate in order for them to access the support from the MDDA. The MDDA had made a commitment that the station, in terms of the definitions in law, they qualified to get the support. However, the requirement that rests upon them now to get the necessary tax clearance certificate. We then are also equally aware that they have not been able necessarily to get their tax affairs in place. We've also now had a conversation with SARS to say how do we then begin to assist them. It's a similar situation with UNITRA, where they owe close to R1 million in unpaid tax revenue. Again, we've gone back to the station as well and looked at their issues of compliance. And they have also made a commitment that, in fact, the onus is rest upon them because I don't want to say negligent on their part, but an omission on their part, if there's ever such a thing, not to have. Yes, they inherited. The point is that I think they inherited a SARS debt, and as you know, that SARS that debt accrues interest. So it is now with interest that debt. So what we've asked them to do, because they are a reasonably well-managed station, they earn reasonable advertising revenue. They need to begin to service that debt in the meantime, because it becomes a runaway debt if they don't do anything about it. Again, with them, we're saying the agency remains ready to support them insofar as their new infrastructure requirements that they have. However, we are not able to move until such time as they are actually quite compliant. Because in the past, even if we were to process them through the board would not approve them unless, of course, they are compliant. With regards to Danzani FM, they have since submitted the necessary documentation. We have now in the process of processing them. There's an issue about their location. It's not most ideal. Even if we were to bring new equipment there, when we studied their lease agreement, it's also quite an issue. So we are in conversations with them that they need to find a public building where we can actually see whether we can move, because it will also address the issues of access of that resource. So there is some movement. We're planning that as we come back for the fourth quarter and the annual report, we'll then provide members with the details of insofar as what those issues are. But as a matter of practice, honorable members, once the parliament gives us orders, we execute them immediately.
Thank you. I'll go directly to the issue of employee cost. I might agree that it can be savings. The reason why we treat this as a variance is that the position were delayed to address the issue of equity. So salaries were not paid during the budgeted time. So if those positions were filled on time, then we know that variance, so it cannot be regarded as a savings in that score. We'll go directly to slide number 35. I would just apologize that on 2012-13 we should have written this as a revised budget. What will happen during the year if we receive extra funds from the broadcasters? That funds will be revised, so it will be mostly spread to, because those are broadcast funds, it will fall under small commercial. Basically, it will go to community media according to their allocation, 60%, 5%. So I think that's...
On the issue of board members, members not attending meetings. As a board, this is one issue that we are actually dealing with as we speak. And it is true that, you know, in the annual report, there will be a clear breakdown of what has happened. And I think now I'll hand over to the CEO so that he can do a presentation about our framework going forward. MTM.
No. Acting Chairperson, you can't respond in that matter in that manner. You see, it becomes problematic. We raised the issue, let me not say I, we raised the issue as a committee last year. We said we want you to finish us with the schedule. How many meetings board members attended. So what we are waiting for is a schedule. Because we want to see these board members who don't attend meetings, but they accept to be appointed as board members. Secondly, you must explain, when you say you deal with, what does that mean? What is your article or memorandum of association saying now about the board members who are not attending? In which manner are you dealing with? Because we have yet a lot of people dealing with issues and only to find that they are dealing with issues outside the ambit of the law. Dealing with issues, it means not to do anything. By not doing anything is to deal with the matter. So you must explain, how are you dealing with the matter if you are saying you are dealing with the matter?
Chairperson, I think in the last meeting, we were required to submit a letter to the committee explaining exactly who attends meetings and who doesn't. We submitted that information. I think that was also another way of dealing with it. But also, even in our last board meeting, it was an issue that we actually reflected on to say we need to change and actually make sure that we attend all the board meetings going forward. But I think other board members as well, they would assist me as we move forward, you know, on this issue. Thank you very much.
Okay, just hold. Lisoma and Mrutu.
I want to ask you, Chairperson, is it a correct statement that you asked for a letter to indicate the attendance? Since I was in this committee, I don't remember us dealing with such a matter. I don't know, maybe how it is communicated. Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the humble, honorable acting chair, because even last time it was you who was leading the delegation. That which means it goes with the responsibility. It goes with the responsibility. I tried to be very diplomatic when I said finally in our NDA report we'll get that. But exactly as the chair is saying, but also I thought we're going to say, if you're saying it's a letter, whether it's a memo or whatever, I'm not too sure, to respond to say in a summary form, it did indicate these are the members that reluctantly don't attend the board meetings, and what impact their non-attendance have in the operations and the oversight of the board that's supposed to be done, and what measures we have taken. So I'm saying, I'm sure we are not going to make reference to the chair, because me, in a person, I've never met the chair, I've only met you. So then you will give us a summary and say also to say you will change that letter to be a report so that it covers those things, and I'm sure also it will be the truth. Nobody also will come back and dispute that. Or when we compare with the NDA report, it says something else. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. I think what we did send is a schedule of the meetings that were attended. We will obviously provide the same schedule for this current year. I think in terms of the administration and the continuing of the MGDA work that has not been impacted, we have been co-rated for every single meeting that we've held. I have myself acted as chair on numerous occasions. Every single contract and agreement has been signed and authorized. It has not impacted negatively on the smooth and efficient running of the institution. So I want to allay members' concerns if that is what you're concerned about. I think we need to be very appreciative of the fact that we have members who might be serving on this committee, on this board, who have a lot of other engagements and a lot of other pressing commitments, and often the schedules are clashing. I'm not making excuses, but I am saying that we have to be very alive to that. We have people from a broad sector of society, and emergencies do happen. As a board, we have taken this very seriously, honourable members. We have, as colleagues, insisted that we begin to ensure that we are at every meeting as far as possible. We are monitoring as well the number of consecutive meetings that people might miss. Because it's fair to say that sometimes you might miss one meeting, but you're definitely at the next one. What we need to track is if people are actually not coming to consecutive meetings, meeting after meeting, etc. But I need to stress again, and my colleagues will attest to that, the smooth and efficient running of the work continues. Contracts are signed, meetings are held, we core it, and we proceed. I'm not too sure the CEO wants to add to that.
Through you, Chair. Thanks. And just to add on the part about what are we doing about the attendance, one of the things we're having is that we had a couple of board members who resigned, and the distribution around subcommittees, just to answer the third question as well, we do have a couple of standing subcommittees of the board, and we had an uneven distribution of the subcommittees, which created a higher workload for other members. So we have since revised the distribution of the workload, and with the two new members that have just come in, we're planning a further revision of those subcommittees in the next board meeting to ensure that we then have an evenly distributed workload.
Thank you. Probably we'll have to proceed because of time, but I see Drogen and Lisoma. Drogen.
Sorry, Chair, I just wanted to... I don't think they've answered my question on page 35.
And once, in terms of cutting, that you are seem to be cutting on the key areas, your community media and research, why did they fall a victim?
Through you, Chairperson, when we deal with the MTF, you will see that there is a revision. This was as was tabled last year and was based on the budget cuts, but the distribution is informed by the percentages in terms of the regulation. Indeed, research remains underfunded in terms of the regulation. So until we revise the regulation, research will remain getting just 5%. And we're working on the amendments to the Act, and hopefully arising out of those, there will be revision of the regulation.
Thank you. Lisoma?
I'm going to leave without saying anything, Chair, but having given me the opportunity. It doesn't mean that if an organization, in terms of its performance, it performs well, then the board members should not also give that support as work bodies. Because what it says for us, Chair, probably when we make interviews in future for any board, we must make sure that people are not overcommitted, because they then give this service, they just accumulate their CVs to look good, whereas they are freelancing, they're not adding any value. All of us were important, and all of the board members are important, they're doing other important things, but they shouldn't accept the appointments if there are so important other things there. That's all one is saying, so we shouldn't downplay it. It is a problem, and I think as a committee moving forward, we should look at that, because I was not dealing with the issues really in terms of impacting of the operations, but the issue is a matter of principle. If you want to service the country, you must give dedicated time, because board meetings are approved before 1 year ahead. So in terms of your data and all those things, but I didn't want to make it an issue, but I'm sure the board members, if they responded without anyone giving them the opportunity, they will raise to their colleagues to say it is a serious issue. They either resign or they do what they're supposed to do. It's just an appeal from our side for them, because they are the eyes and ears of us. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks very much. Probably let's proceed because you see the reason why we raised this question, the same schedule you sent us is shocking how other board members are attending. That's why we're asking, what action have you taken? If you are still going to take an action, how long do you take an action? How long does it take you to take an action? That's the question we are raising. We appreciate the schedule, but if you look at that schedule, it's shocking. Clearly, other board members are not there. So if you say you are taking action, you must define what do you mean and when it's going to finish, because you cannot perpetually acting without reaching a conclusion. If you drive, you reach your destination, and so on. That's what we are talking about. Because if you look at the schedule you gave us, we thought that probably we will say now, these are the actions we have taken. As a board, this is what we have reported, or whatever measures we have taken to deal with the matter was unacceptable. I take the point that other people are busy, but why did you agree to be nominated? Honorable Mrutu?
On that point, I think I'm beginning to think very seriously. This thing has got something to do with the team the way he is.
CEO, you can give us a presentation. So, can we have a proper report with a cause of action? This thing slammed to what you're talking about. You can't come here to slam. We slammed outside today, Makonnen. Yeah. We need a proper report and proper action to be taken. We cannot have people loafing around and calling themselves board members. Just look at your schedule. It's a shame. If you look at your schedule, some board members, I don't know why they are still calling themselves board members. It's a shame, that thing. That's a shame. And all of us will just be hiding our heads over our sand and hide ourselves. Eh? Because it's a shame, because you see, I'm raising this issue because this committee and these members are under fire now because of SABC. All these members who have done their work honestly and so on, they're under fire now because of the behavior of a board. Now we are starting the tendencies yourself. And we're not going to keep quiet. We don't want to see it unfolding where it goes to. We don't want to see it. We need to nip it as it begins now. That's why we need a proper report. And I can assure you, we can call even those members before this committee themselves notify you to put them there and account. Why did they come before us and be interviewed then later decide not to attend meeting? Because it means that they're not taking us serious. And they're not taking South Africans serious. It's a serious matter. But I appreciate that the other board members are pulling, are covering up, and so on. And the very diplomatic chair, trying to do it. No. This is not a bread and butter issue. It's a real issue. So we need a proper report around this matter and proper action to be taken. We will act. We're not going to leave you like this other board now. We're in trouble. We need to act now. Otherwise, we'll have problems. CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. We'll submit the report. Now coming to the MTF, the annual performance plan. Chairperson, the board met and in view of the NDP, the Census 2011, the new challenges, decided to revise the vision, the mission. As you can see now, our vision is access to diversified media for all, mission ensuring the sustainable development of a vibrant, innovative, and people-centered media. And our value proposition is integrated development services and resources that enable media development and diversity. Okay, the next slide here, it just shows the strategic intent and the map articulated within the context of the four perspectives of the balance scorecard, which are the financial stakeholder, internal business processes, and innovation, growth, and development perspectives. You can see in the map the vision, the mission, the value proposition, and the strategic objectives, the critical success factors, and the activities. These are the strategic objectives from the map. We now have four strategic objectives: grow and diversify media funding base, strengthen MDDA processes, systems, and procedures, deliver innovative products and services that deliver that delight stakeholder expectations, create a learning environment, and build capabilities that deliver MDDA value products and services. Accordingly, you'd see, honourable members, that our plan, you remember last year, we could not comply with the new National Treasury regulation. But this particular one is in terms of the new National Treasury regulation, and it's very smart. We have complied with your call, and we have 8 programs. The community media, small commercial media, research, training and development, monitoring and evaluation, human resources, communication, branding and stakeholder management, risk management and internal audit, and financial management. And I hope you can see the tables in the book. You'll see that we have per program, we've got 4 tables. The first table talks to the key performance areas, and it compares to the different financial years. It can help you see the trends from as far back as 2011-12 up to the MTEF. And then the second table tells of the performance indicators. And in terms of the very smart principles of strategic planning, you'll see that we show those indicators in either percentage or number. And again, you can look back how we have performed in the previous years, where there is a baseline, and look forward in terms of the MTEF. The third table per program, it then looks at the quota, the targets per quota, which is what then will help both the accounting authority and yourselves to measure how we're performing. And that will be the focus that I'll talk to. It then tells per performance area.
Where's the... Why are you not in Zendo? What is it, you think? Oh, by process.
Performance area and per quota, you see the targets, and our performance areas ranges under the program community media, ranges from percentage of community media projects funded, number of funded community media projects, right through to the learning forums and the studies to access local content and infrastructure support. Then the last table per program is then budget, which shows the expenditure estimates per each of those areas under that program. And again, it helps you look back in terms of where we're coming from and forward where we're going in terms of the MTEF. This, I think it helps National Treasury, but I think it also helps yourselves and any other person who may be interested in looking at the trends in terms of the performance of the entity. The second program is small commercial media, and the purpose there is to provide technical support, non-financial and financial support to diverse media platforms owned and controlled by independent publishers. The strategic objective to enhance ownership and control by independent media entrepreneurs. Again, there you can see the performance areas, going back and going forward. And the second table shows you the performance indicators, either in rand amounts and percentages and numbers per performance area. Then the third table tells of then the quarterly targets per area. And you can see that if you look at our last year's plan and this one, last year, I remember numbers. You can see here we only talk in terms of numbers and you can measure us accordingly. And similarly, in terms of the budget, we take the budget allocated per program and we divide it in terms of those different performance areas. The same applies to program 3, research, training and development, with the purpose to create and enhance a body of knowledge regarding the media landscape and build capacity for a diverse media industry. The strategic objective there, a vibrant, innovative and people-centered media. Same approach in terms of the planning, very clear targets and comparisons back into the previous years and into the MTF. And we also have targets for the four quarters for the financial year 2013-14 and the expenditure estimates. Program 4, monitoring and evaluation, the purpose to assess grant agreement compliance and impact of MDA-funded projects. And that talks to the question that Honorable Shin asked before. The objective to strengthen the strengthening and promotion of a vibrant, innovative, and people-centered and diversified media. There we've got the KPAs again and the indicators accordingly and the quarterly targets and the estimates, expenditure estimates. The fifth program, human resources, to develop MDDA human capital so as to deliver products and services that delight stakeholders. The strategic objective, creation of an environment and capabilities that deliver MDDA value products and services. We list that and the next table shows the performance indicators and the targets per quarter and the expenditure estimates. The sixth program, communications, branding and stakeholder management, purpose to enhance the MDDA brand as a leader in media development and diversity. Strategic objective, a well-known, valued and reputable brand. This being going to be our 10-year celebration and 10-year anniversary, we're hoping that members will avail themselves to some of our activities so as to raise the flag in terms of the 10-year success story and the challenges ahead. Again, there we list the KPAs and the indicators, performance indicators, and the targets for the year and the estimates. Unfortunately, we don't have enough communication budget, and hopefully the CEO of GCIS will help us in some of these activities because indeed the 10-year milestone needs to be celebrated. The seventh program is risk management and internal audit, purpose to limit the negative impact of organizational and environmental risk. Strategic objective, enhanced governance and accountability standards of the MDDA. Mr. Ringa, we list there the KPAs and the performance indicators and the targets for the year. And of course, you can see that again, we are quite very hard on ourselves. Our target is clean audits and all that. So we set our targets quite high, but within the manageable abilities of the agency. The last program is financial management, supposed to provide the agency with overall financial and supply chain management and guide management in complying with legislative requirements, budget planning, financial management, and administration. again, there all the normal KPAs that will be under what, for example, GIS is the program administration. We set all those KPAs there for ourselves, and the indicators clearly we're planning, we're targeting to make sure that we have the best managed entity, and the quarterly targets and the estimates thereof. The key question becomes then the warm bodies to deliver the strategy. So the next slide shows of our plan in terms of human resources. You will see that we have taken wisdom from this committee and also our challenges of the past. We now have, for example, positions that we didn't have before, like supply chain management specialist, to avoid some of the challenges we've had in the past. We have IT manager. This is one area that has been a challenge for us in terms of audits, and now we've got a dedicated person to deal with that. But we still do have some positions that are unfunded, like communications and branding manager, grant funding and special project consultant, company secretary. We've restructured internal audit to divide between the risk and internal audit, and we're now going to recruit two positions in that regard. So our staff requirements for the financial year will be 30, growing into 35 in the next financial year and going forward. The next slide talks to the general challenges and the regulatory foundations for ourselves. The biggest challenge that we still have, and we have discussed with the minister, and the minister has indicated we have agreed on a process to engage with the Ministry of Communications regarding Vote 26 and some of the related programs in Vote 26 and how we can bring those back to Vote 8. And that discussion, we will come back to you when we report in terms of the annual report. We have a process between the accounting officers to assist the minister's discussion in this regard. I will now ask the chairperson to acting chairperson to take us through the next slide.
The most interesting slide, which is more about requesting for additional funds. Obviously, our agency. obviously, the work that we are busy with as an agency needs, you know, more resources. For instance, for monitoring and evaluation, we need about 3.1 million rand, and these funds obviously will be used, you know, to strengthen our M&E unit so that we can really monitor our projects effectively going forward. But also with regard to grant funding, we would like to receive 10 million rands. You know, so that, you know, we can also deal with the gap that might exist because of green funders that are decreasing their yearly contributions. With regard to the implementation of a communication strategy, we need about 2.4 million rands. Obviously, for us to be able to be viewed as an agency that is, you know, important amongst other agencies, we need to have a very clear communication strategy, and we have to participate, you know, in public discourse and so on and on through our communications unit as the agency. We also, with regard to human resources, there are three positions that have been identified that need to be filled so that we can be able then to do, you know, the work that has been outlined here by the CEO as part of our strategy. For instance, we need a senior manager who will be dealing with communications, a project officer, and a company secretary. I think the issue of the company secretary as a board also, we have seen it as something that needs to be sorted out as soon as yesterday. We need a company secretary so that we are able to deal with certain issues going forward. Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson.
That's why I apologize on my company
secretary. Yes. I think at this point, Chairperson, as the agents, we would like really to conclude by saying, firstly, we appreciate the contributions and the inputs that are made by this committee they make us, you know, to be able to deal with issues that might not necessarily be going well from time to time. However, also would like to thank, you know, our stakeholders, particularly GCIS, which is supporting us as an agency going forward, and the presidency, you know, so that we are able to do our work. We'd like to thank also those who provide us with the necessary funding so that we are able to support the projects that we have in our communities. I think, you know, others are listed there, NEMISA, AMASA, and so on and on. But also, I've already thanked, you know, this committee chairperson to say, indeed, we appreciate the support. But also, allow me to mention that Ms. Gugum Sibi, who was the chairperson until the end of December last year, has actually, obviously, her term has come to an end, and would like to take this opportunity to thank her also for her contribution as part of this board and in this agency. Ms. Louise Vail also, who resigned, and her resignation was accepted by the President in September last year, would like also to thank her for her contribution towards, you know, the work all that we do here. Our hope, Chairperson, as we conclude, revolves around the following. One, ensuring that there is diversity of media in each and every district municipality in our country is something that we would like to realize. But also we would like to ensure that there is increased media in different indigenous languages, reflecting unity and diversity. Lastly, we would like to ensure that rural communities are empowered and that jobs are created, poverty is alleviated, and we have an informed society. Because without an informed society, we won't be able to know where we are going. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Will that conclude the presentation? Okay. Members, I was told that I must make sure that you are out of here at 4. And that's what I'm going to do. The claw machine and cinema.
No, thank you so much, Honorable Chair. I don't think I've got much to say here. Only to say thank you for a very detailed plan, and I hope that but you have already the coming year also are going to fulfill that. The only thing that I was going to ask, which on your second latter part related to is the our relationship with GCIS, but also the other one is to say while then going together with GCIS in terms of when government taking government to the people, and also knowing the provincial premier's programs taking government to the people, where you can just only ask for a stall, and also which they might charge you, I know, but it's more like minimum than going as yourself, fully fledged in advertising and reaching out to the community. And of course, it should be a targeted community area that will also add value. And I hope your hopes are also going to be fulfilled, and I'm sure your hopes also are covered somewhere, because we would like to see when you are coming back, these hopes also being able to be finding its expression in terms of our plan here. Because if you hope and you don't do anything like your board, then it's not going to make us very impressed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one, the first thing that I want to just clarify, and this comes from the estimates of expenditure, the amount of money being given to the MDDA via GCIS is 20.7 million. That is correct. And then we have on the under the expenditure estimates of MDDA, we have that their total revenue for this year is expected to be 54 million. Now I assume the difference is the funding from newspapers and other sources. Is that correct? And can you then just please sort of break down that 54 million for us? That is the one query from there. Then my questions are going to be based on from this book, not from your presentation. Okay, but from both the your amendment bill, you say it's before the minister, you've put forward your first, I presume, rough draft. Have you any indication from her when you expect that to see the light of day? Because according to the National Estimates of Expenditure, I think we have about 6 bits of legislation they want us to finalise by September, and we haven't even started yet. And even from that, they've left off one of the bills that's there. So I would assume that you wouldn't be expecting this bill to come before Parliament until 2016. And I'm being optimistic there. I mean, you know, what are your expectations of this? What have you been told? Because, you know, really, we're probably going to close Parliament early. We've got an election next year. We've got 6 pieces of legislation in front of us already, and, you know, we haven't started. So, you know, I wouldn't sit there holding your breath from what I would gather. Then, in this report on pages 36, looking at your expenditure estimates for community media, this is for the online-based project management system. Last year you spent $30 million. This coming year you expect to spend $30,000. I beg your pardon, $30,000. And this year you expect to expend about $480,000. So that's R500,000. Why the dramatic increase? Then on page 42 of this, program performance targets. What is this? I don't know what program this is. 4.4. Yeah. Increase in the number of operation media projects as a result of training and skills provided. Now, the actual audited performance for 2012-13 was 310, and for this coming year you expect 460. How do you think that you will achieve that number? That is all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Schneeman.
Thanks, Chair. Something that the Honourable Shin said, and it doesn't relate to MDDA, but part of it does. I mean, she was saying that there are 6 pieces of legislation before this committee. I don't know of any pieces of legislation that are before the committee. Okay, all right, but there's nothing at the moment in Parliament. Okay, all right, no, I just want to get clarity.
No, probably he thought that it would be the member, private member. Yeah. Proceed, Honourable Schneeman.
But Chair, I think just to say that, I mean, this is the wrong platform, I think, to bring requests for additional funding. There's not much we can do with this. This is something that should have been taken up with the department, surely, with the department and Treasury. But to bring it here, it doesn't help at all. It's nice to know, and obviously you will know it, that you raise it, you know, we take note of it, but there's nothing that can be done. Budget has been passed and tabled, so I don't understand why this is being brought here, because it's really of no use. Unless you're trying to highlight to us the challenges that you're going to have in doing your work, that's a different story. But I think then it's incorrectly worded here about a request for additional funds, because there's no process at the moment for that. And that's something that you'd have to be interacting with Treasury and then DOC, I would imagine, in the next cycle and the next round. That's my comment there. But obviously, as I say, maybe you're trying to highlight to us the implications. Maybe this was funds you'd asked for. I take it this was funds you'd requested and hadn't been given. If that's the case, maybe this should have been a bit worded differently. 14 community radio stations. That I imagine is for new community radio stations. Would I be correct in understanding that? Now, if I am, and it also talks about grants and seed funding for print media, I'm just trying to understand whether this is for new stations and new community newspapers, or is this for existing? Because what I'm really wanting to get to is the funding that you have for new radio stations, but nobody's... anyway, let me ask my question and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But if this is for new stations and new newspapers, etc., what are we doing, and I'll keep raising this as long as I'm in the committee for, what are we doing around the issue of sustainability? Because we heard earlier in your presentation about the incredible impact that community radio has been able to make in a short space of time, actually, where it's gained almost 28%, I think you indicated to us, of radio listenership. Now that's a big chunk of radio listenership. Now, one of the things that we always find is that these radio stations are really on back. Very few, if any, can actually stand on their own feet. They always are raising the issue about the need for funding. So that's my question really. What are we trying to do about ensuring that when we give funding, the money that's spent on equipment, training, etc., that we're actually helping to develop a more sustainable industry? Because, I don't think we can just keep on saying, well, they can't be sustainable. Because I don't know if I'd agree with it. I think that somewhere along the line, we've got to get them to a point of sustainability far more than they are at now. And that talks about the issue of advertising, a whole range of things. But I'd like to hear what is it that you are focusing on, particularly in this new financial year, around that. I asked a question last time when we met with yourselves, and that was whether there's any information as to the number of community radio stations and community newspapers that have been funded up until that stage, since inception. How many have succeeded? How many haven't succeeded? Have you done that study? And at the time, you were not able to tell us. And you indicated that it would be a good idea to do that. And I'm wondering whether that's been looked at yet. Because that will also give us an understanding as to whether we're putting money in the right direction, whether we're doing the correct things. Thanks, Jeffers.
Thank you, Drohan.
Chair, if none of my other colleagues want to ask, there's two things I forgot to ask, so if I can add them so that we can get the... Okay, super, thank you. Going back to the national estimates of expenditure on page, you won't have it there, but page 15, you've listed as for the... I beg your pardon, I've gone back to GCI, so forget that one. Too many pieces of paper here. There's just one issue of concern in the MDDA strategic framework here. And it goes back to what my colleague from the IFP said earlier about the sort of clashing mandate between government and party. On page 11 of this document is under the section on the strategic overview, there's a paragraph or two paragraphs on political imperatives where it says that the much-awaited elective conference at Manawung of the ANC confirmed continuity in the leadership of government. This suggests very little if any policy changes are likely to affect the work of the MDDA. I really don't think it's part of a government agency's business what happens at a governing party's policy conference. you know, you should be actually implementing, worrying about what government is doing, what decisions are made by government, not necessarily by a governing party's political conference. And to me, there just seems to be an increasing blurring of the difference between party and state. It would be nice if we could have an answer on this, but you know, there would be some sort of clear delineation that, you know, that this is a government agency supporting all the people in the country and not necessarily being, because party policies aren't necessarily translated immediately into government policy, because government policies are discussed and debated and sometimes amended. And I find it disturbing that in a document of a government agency we sort of celebrate the lack of change, if you like, policy direction of a governing party.
Thanks, Chair. I mean, I think we're dealing with. I want to make a comment just on the issue that the Honourable Shin has raised now. You know, I think it's really, I think it's a bit naive to suggest that that government makes its own policies is not influenced by anything. I just want to state that this government is an ANC government, and there's an ANC party, and it's the party of the African National Congress that actually determines its policies, and those policies become policies of government. It's absurd to say that that is not going to happen. The Democratic Alliance has a party, and the Democratic Alliance goes to its conferences where it determines its policy, and that becomes the policy of the DA. That becomes the policy of the DA government in the Western Cape. So I don't think we must come here and play games here. I think the MDDA is quite correct in having taken note of the policy direction of the ruling party, and the ruling party is also the ruling party in government. So I don't think we should try and confuse issues here. The fact is that the ruling party at its national conference has developed policy proposals, and those become policies of government.
Thank you, Chair. I think my appeal from MDDA is to refrain from responding to that at a first instance. No, it's not you now on the floor, it's me. I would like to be respected. Thank you. Secondly, Chair, I'll go on the same line that Honourable Greg have raised in terms of that. Even them as DA chairperson, they were so agitated and excited and knowing about Mangaung and preempting Mangaung. When government is, they were raising it in the house, not in the streets. And then now if the government entities are trying to please them on that, now they've got an issue. But also I would have a fundamental challenge if when the ANC, the party of the people, not the COP, of the majority of South Africans, then somebody would like us to behave as if we don't exist. And I will have a problem. And I will have a problem if the member raising that matter doesn't give us a comparison of what happens in Western Cape. Western Cape coming to the administration, all administrators that were employed by the ruling party then, which is ANC, they were all out. Why? Because they wanted to implement their policies. And we are saying our entities, of course, they should not be politically biased to be blare on that one. They must be mindful of the political landscape, but don't be having a problem with that one. We are not ashamed that they put it here, and also we are still going to defend it even in the House. You can raise it as a motion. We are prepared for you. Thank
you. You know, Jefferson, I'm just wondering how long are we going to fight this issue of the ANC hitting this government. We must not come here and come in, you know, deny the fact that the ANC is ruling. You see, as Honorable Lesoma has alluded to the fact that everybody was interested when Mangaung conference was going to take place, even business people. They were so interested to know what are the policies that are going to come.
because those are determining the success of their businesses and improving the lives of people. I really think that MDA shouldn't respond to this. I concur with what you said.
Thanks very much. MDA, can you respond on the question?
Thanks. Honorable Somad, our relationship with TCIS, indeed there is room for improvement. And just last week we were together in the Eastern Cape on the State of the Nation address, engaging with the municipalities and community media there in terms of the relevance of those platforms and the need to support those platforms in order to sustain them, but also to reach to the targeted audiences by government. And thanks for the appreciation. Honorable Shin, your first question, the detail of budget is there on under Appendix B. Under Appendix B of your document, from page 67 onwards, that gives you the breakdown of the budget. In terms of the bill, you were speaking about a hair minister. I suppose maybe you confused the ministries. We report to the presidency, and therefore the minister there is Minister Collins Chaban. He would be the one who would take that bill forward as opposed to the communication. In terms of your question on page 34, the online project is at a different stage. It's been at different stages from conceptual to now RFP, and therefore that's why then there will be differences in terms of the targets in respect of that project. On page 42, the increase in the number of operating media projects as a result of training and skills provided, the increase there is because of our increased investment in terms of training and the targeted numbers thereof. And that is why then you'll see the numbers change. So you must read it with the targets in terms of the targeted people for training. The question of the strategic planning and how you look at the different strategic imperatives, I think has been answered by Honorable Craig and Honorable Thomas, so we won't answer that one. It's a strategic exercise question. You have to look at the political landscape, economic landscape, and so forth and so forth. Honorable Greg, the question of you're correct in terms of the additional funding slide. It was because previously this committee has raised it, and you have said you want to see how much is it that we need going forward. So we have submitted this to the National Treasury. But of course, given the economic downturn, we have not received that, but we will still be submitting it going forward for the next planning. So that was really just to inform the committee. Your question in respect of page 33, it relates to both new and existing. So you would get existing projects coming back for support. Say, for example, a project is now able to run on its own, but it could be helpful if it was to get a mobile studio, for example. It would come back and request for that. So that would be an existing project, and that proposal would be assisting it. So this target both new and existing. And your related question in terms of the social impact study, it is being implemented now. We will come back to yourselves with the report in terms of that. It's an ongoing research work. and that will talk to our success, our challenges, impact, and so forth. So that will cover all this. I think those are the questions from members. I'm not sure if I missed anything. Nadia.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe just to cover the one issue that the Honourable Member raised around sustainability of projects. I think you're at, you know, the one thing that's been a lot of research being done as late as last year, looking at where the projects will be sustainable if we have to pull the plug. I think what we have found, and I think the CEO and his team have done an incredible job to build capacity, and certainly around skills development, etc. Remember that the projects that are being supported by the MDDA are largely in areas that there is no real economic activity. The issue around advertising spend and the issue around getting funding, you know, in the last 10 years continues to be a challenge. And I think as one of our colleagues indicated, it costs to ensure that we have a democracy, it costs to ensure that we have diversity of opinion, diversity of voice, opportunities for all our languages to find expression, etc. And as much as we would like to begin to start pulling back, the reality on the ground is that a lot of these projects have no other funding resources. But I think we continue to look at that. We continue to look at creative and innovative ways to build capacity and assist. And I thought that needed to be mentioned. In addition, what needs to be mentioned is that remember that broadcasters, by way of regulation, commit funds to the MDDA. The print media sector is not regulated. It's a voluntary contribution. So when you're looking at the funding mix as well, we need to always be cognizant of that. But to your point, the MDDA, and I think the point needs to be made, we need to thank the team at the MDDA for the work that they do in this regard as well. Thank you.
Maybe just last addition in that regard, we're going to be producing a corporate governance toolkit as one of the interventions towards sustainability. You'd remember in the previous years we produced a marketing and advertising toolkit. So this is all in addition to all the other interventions, including engaging with government. Increasingly, government, both provincially, locally, and nationally, all spheres are beginning, and also thanks to the work of this committee, are beginning to realize that it is very important to use relevant platforms to communicate messages. You can't spend your campaign communicating, for example, social grants information, and you spend your campaign in a newspaper like Business Day, for example. I'll make an example. Surely it means that is fruitless expenditure, because people who read Business Day are not necessarily the targeted people to receive social grants. Those people who need social grants do not even know whether Business Day does exist, because it doesn't circulate in their area. Whereas if you target community media for those kind of messages, you're reaching out to the very targeted audience. So that work has assisted. We continuously engage with the government communicators and the municipalities through the different UNIMEX in the different provinces. And that has helped to change the perspective in terms of government communication. And we're hoping that together and with your support, we will be able to get more money diverted to these platforms, which will help their sustainability.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. That is our response of the agency. Thank you.
Soma?
Thanks, Chair. Just a very quick question. Just going back to page 33 with the grant and seed funding, I've heard the explanation is that it encompasses both existing and new, but would it be a possibility that we could get a breakdown of funding for existing and funding for new? Because at the moment it's difficult to determine how many new stations, etc., newspapers you're intending to target in the coming financial year. That's all I'd ask for. Thanks.
Shane?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'd like to, if I may, ask a question of both the CEO of MDDA and and DCI is acting, DCI is following on the last response by Mr. Ndidi now on making sure that adverts are placed in the appropriate way. Was GCIS involved at all in the placing of the full-page, full-color supplements that appeared in most of the national newspapers on the new arrangements, payment arrangements, by the grant people? The name's gone out of my head for a moment. Yeah, Sasa. Because, I mean, that was... I looked at this and thought, this has got to be an incredible waste of money, because it didn't inform the right people at the right level. And I was wondering whether you offered your advice and whether it was ignored, or if you did offer your advice, I would assume that you need to improve.
Tetsama?
I don't want to be tempted to be MBPA, but I'll leave that one, Chair. The other one that, probably not now, this one, Chair, I don't want the response now, but just for me to be schooled in future. You can say it outside this meeting, but I'm saying it aloud. To say the seed funding, is it not a money that you get when you are kickstarting something? But in your responses, Honorable Greg raised that one. You said sometimes a radio station, a community radio station would like to have a mobile radio station. Do you still existing radio station when it gets that, because it extends its area of operation and visibility? That's still a seed funding? I hope it's not. It's something else. Two, Chair, nothing to do as moving forward that I would like in future other entities that are going to make a presentation, if they can come with also a schedule of issues that were raised during our oversight and the progress thereof. Because I know with MDDA, they only mention one in writing, but the other one we receive it verbally, which means you can't also track that one. I'll forget as I move. I'm not saying that we forget, but I'm just saying human memory sometimes it doesn't help us. So that will be my appeal, so that we don't raise it and repeat ourselves all the time. But also that will be a major improvement to see whether they are taking us seriously or not on this oversight versus. Thank you, Chair.
I hope there's some element of truth on what Honorable Mrotua was saying about other people contaminated and transfer it to other organizations, because MDD has been doing very well in that school all these years. I don't know what's wrong now, but it's a matter which they need to deal with so quick so that they don't get infested by whatever it might be. Chair and CEO, those are the questions from the members. But probably just two from me is that it's the same question which is I asked. We have been around this issue of MDDA for many times, raising frustration, raising questions, but what is it exactly which needs to happen? You see, it won't help us, like the same thing which I said about the dead horse, beat it and think that will run. We just eat the biltong for horses. We didn't know, but it's fine. We enjoyed it anyway. But it's a problem that it's a problem that we need to deal with, probably thinking outside the box. We know there is MDDA now with all its limitations and so on. But what is it which we can do outside the box so that it succeeds? You see, the argument of sustainability, the reality is that is the current policy around the whole issue of community media correct? Because you see, my take is like seemingly it's a one size fits all. There is no difference of a community radio. Where were you opening the post office? There is no difference between Benyane community radio and a community radio in Cholet. Now probably we have been sitting with this matter for some time. Probably now we need to start to say we have this experience over here. What have we learned and what are the new things which we need to do? Probably we are saying too much on the same thing for a long time. Now we need just to move outside of that and see what are innovations and policies which need to be changed probably so that we are able to deal exactly with the problem which members are raising, because I think it's this thing of one size fits all which seems to be a problem. Because you see, we should be able to be proudly saying these community radios, it doesn't matter what you say, where they are, the area is economically not viable. And of course, something needs to happen, because those people, the fact that they're in an area which is economically not viable, does not mean that they must be deprived information. They still have to get information like a person in something. But it's a matter of how do we deal with those issues, so that even from policy level, legislative level, we appreciate those things and so on. Probably my question is that have you ever think outside the current environment? And if you've got a view, probably something we discuss sometimes in terms of what are your views moving forward. You see, we're politicians here. We're not dealing mechanically with these things. You are. People should be knowing where things are going wrong or where things need to be improved. It's you, not us. But you should be presenting to us to say, this is what we have, but this is how we think we can deal with things so that they were able to improve. We don't find ourselves moving around. I was told that one entity was turning around, but they turn around 360 degrees and they were dizzy. Then the turnaround didn't work. They end up falling apart again. They must start to turn around again because they've been turned around too much. But those are the things which I think for me is critical. I think we've been too long to this thing, and we need just to start to move forward in terms of what exactly is not working, what can work, and what we need to do. But you must advise us, and the experience and the expertise is with you than us here. You see, these members sometimes they're in each other's throat. Others they dream about in power. Others they're fighting will never be in power. It's fine. They're bored. You see, they don't know what they're talking about. They can't separate the politics. So you must give us things to work on, not to talk about this thing of power, not in power. We know who's in power now anyway. We're going to election next year. It's okay. But so that's my question on how do we deal with that. And the impact of a GCIS decision or position to say they want to use community media more often, what will that mean exactly? You see, it's good when the acting CEO talk about that, but how is that going to translate in terms of the sustainability, practical, on the ground? How is that going to happen so that we are able to deal with the tangibles when we deal with this matter? So that's my minor question. You can respond to the question and the other one.
Thanks, member. I just wanted to respond to the SASA advert. I think we were equally shocked because we felt that it was a lot of wastage. But I think if I have to say, it gets back to the power of GCIS. You can only advise. And if a department refuses. And I think one of the things that we're grappling with, because we have taken a conscious decision that we need to support these upcoming newspapers and radios. And I think the question that a number of departments hide behind is this AMP that has become a standard answer. There's no record that they are not subscribed to AMP or whatever. But the reality is that these are publications that are very popular in communities that we want to talk to. And I think we continue and we are not stopping. Whenever a department comes to us for a campaign, we will give them a quote and we will consciously include community radio station and community print. And in some cases we win, in others we don't. The implication of this commitment that we've made, it's the relationship that we have with LUMCO, because I think, yes, they do, some of them have a challenges of governance, but I think that shouldn't give an excuse of government not supporting them. We're working very closely with the MDDA in addressing some of the teething problem. For instance, the billing system. We still struggle with them with the billing system, but there is a relationship with MDDA to say, support them in training in this area, but we will support them in making sure that we get the business. So I think in that regard, Chairperson, I think we do want to insist that government department come to us to prevent some of the wastages that they do, because yes, we do have the expertise, we do have the softwares of directing the money where it matters. And the last, I think that I wanted to, is the issue of funding. Members, I think I have sympathy with the CEO of MDDA putting their request. I think there is a lack of appreciation of communication costs money in government generally. You can submit until you are blue in your face in National Treasury, but they will always say the priorities is houses, is water, is what. Communication is not an issue. So I can sympathize with Lumko trying to bring it here, that I think even with your assistance, you can be able to assist in motivating for the funding, that communication is not cheap. Communication needs to be resourced, because I don't think we're cracking it with National Treasury to put across that point. Thanks.
Thanks, Acting CEO. Just to add that, Honorable Lusoma, yes, that KPA, it talks to both grant and seed funding. So that's why there's a mix there. So there will be both new and existing. In terms of the schedule, we're trying to reduce the slides. We did have those, and we thought when we come back in terms of the annual report, we'll talk to the schedule of issues raised during oversight visits. In terms of the question, the bigger question you raised, Chair, we have discussed it with the Ministry, and part of the discussions around the amendment to the MDDA Act talks to thinking out of the box and how do you strengthen MDDA in order to have more impact. And this research work and that bill will help yourselves come to best solutions for the future.
Any other question, Chairperson, in closing? The lovely Chairperson and a polite one.
In closing, Chairperson, the MDDA would like to say thank you very much for granting us this opportunity to present to you our quarterly report and our plans going forward. And we really appreciate the support that we get from the committee going forward. However, we also acknowledge that it's not a smooth ride. There are challenges here and there that we are committed to deal with as we proceed with our work. Thank you very much, Chairperson. There's nothing else to say beyond that.
I know my not acting future is not much. thanks very much, Chairperson, CEO, and other board members who are here. And some of these board members are even dodging these meetings. We've got a record. For MDDA, we've got board members who seldomly come to meetings, even for the committee. When you give us yours, you will give us ours. Then you'll see that we are keeping the record. But otherwise, thanks very much to all the board members who are here. Migogo, it's your second or your first meeting, I'm not sure. Or it's your first meeting, most welcome. I'm sorry, not Pendula, except that thanks very much, board members who are here. Those who are not here, I hope it's the two which have indicated where they are. But we are going to note on our record that they've apologized on this date. And other meetings are coming and see how things go. Mr. Nguna is a bad start. Mr. Nguna, it's a bad start. You must relate that. It's a bad start. You don't start in that manner. As a new board member, then you miss your first meeting. It's a bad start. You must just relate that so that you understand, so that it does not do that. And I didn't have the apology, whether as an SMS or what. I don't know where it's him. But it's okay. But thanks very much for your presentation. The issue of the board, which we have raised, is a serious matter. We'll be expecting that report from you.
to tell us how to deal with that particular matter. We hope we'll continue to engage. We'll engage on the new proposed policy change and the legislation so that we understand it. What does it mean and how does it take us out of the current box which we are in and so on. Thanks very much, members who are still here, for your solidarity to me and Sheen. Thanks very much, Honorable Trochen. I know that you are supposed to leave at around 3 because of your child, but you chose to continue the meeting. Thanks very much for that. And all of you members, it's not a solidarity between the two of me and Sheen. I don't want next time to be left with her, you see, because we're going to strangle each other by the time you arrive. Then one of us won't be there. But thanks very much. We are done for the meeting today. Have safe drive home.